Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Austin in San Jose called in and he asked, and I think that this is clearly directed at me, which is fine, but he asked, after a Kuminga performance like we saw last night, are you now going to put some of the blame on Steve Kerr? And I'm going to shock everybody by saying, no.
No.
First
not
of all,
Kerr.
I don't see this as a blame situation. Why would we do that? So that's the first way I'm going to answer it. Why does it, when something evolves forward, is that an immediate reaction to go, now let's look at where it went wrong before? I think that's revisionist history. Like to say, in other words, the implication is, if you're blaming Steve Kerr, the implication is that the performance that Jonathan gave last night has been there for the taking all along. If you think that, come on, you don't think that, do you? Do you? I don't think Jonathan thinks that. That's not what he said. That's not why he's grinding with Jimmy Butler, looking at tape, trying to be, as he called it, a sponge. I mean, like, to me, last night, especially in the second half, because it did not love the shot selection in the first half, I liked the effort, the shot selection still, to me, often felt off. The second half, phenomenal basketball. Just tremendous basketball. And if the Warriors have that from the whole group, they're going to win lots of basketball games this year. But I don't find this to be a blame situation. But secondarily, and I get it, we understand the dynamic, I don't think that this is about Jonathan. This is all basketball players. Teams have a system, and the players need to go run the system. And so if any player starts to run the system and starts to make really good decisions and starts to do all the things that a team asks him to do, then that's great. And all of a sudden, the performance is going to get better. If he is such a young basketball player that's so inexperienced, and he is, even though he's been in the league for 5 years, if we're going to talk about that inexperience, then we have to be open for his own personal growth and education as an NBA basketball player. I don't think that something can happen today and that automatically means it was all there all along. That doesn't make sense to me, through my eyes at least.
For me, you look at last year, which was last year. And if you want to go pre-injury, pre-Jimmy Butler, you can look at how he played. And he played differently than he did last night. Last night, he played well within the construct of what they want him to do. And I disagree with the idea of his shot selection in the first half. He took 6 shots, and there was one where he got in the key early in the shot clock, and he did a spin, half spin from 12 feet, and he was guarded, and there was a second defender there. And that's one you probably would want him to be patient on, because that shot's there 12 seconds later in the shot clock. That's the only one. He had a couple of threes that he took that were open. He had a deep three that I was like, in the moment, I was thinking, oh, no. Oh, yes. and he drilled it. And the other miss he had was on a follow slam where I can't believe he missed that dunk.
I mean,
he went
up
high for the rebound, and he just missed the dunk.
That's a physical thing,
though.
What
I saw from him in the first half was at least two times where he got into the painted area, into the key, and instead of doing the things that we've all been wanting him to not do, he was under control. He stopped, and he pitched it back. He pitched it back to Pods, who pump fake and hit a three. He pitched one back to Steph, who hit a three. That, to me, was the area offensively where I saw immediate growth of, yeah, you go headlong into an area, and you're not able to get to the rim, and so he was able to collect and realize that there was a pitch out, and he did that.
Steve referenced multiple decisions in the first half that he did not like from Jonathan Kuminga. So I don't think I'm like flying off the handle here to say.
Yeah, we'll ask him at five.
Yeah, I mean, last night, Steve Kerr.
I think he's really, really matured. You know, he's had a great camp. We've had some really good conversations. I think he has a better understanding of, you know, what we need. He saw in the first half, he took a couple of tough mid-range fadeaways that we don't want. He immediately held up his hand. He realized, you know, that was not the shot. He had, you know, a couple turnovers where he drove into traffic. And second half starts, and, you know, the whole talk at halftime was, let's use Steph Curry. Let's use his movement and put pressure on the defense, because we didn't do that in the first half. And Jonathan, the first few plays of the third quarter, it was beautiful. He screened for Steph, slipped to the rim. Draymond got him a bucket. We ran our split cut stuff. They both went with Steph. He hit the wide open three. I think he just has a better sense of what's needed now compared to past years. And
so that's great. To me, that's what I saw too. It wasn't only shot selection. It was certain decisions. And he referenced dribbling into traffic and turning it over. Like, to me,
which actually it didn't happen. I don't know if he's thinking about like plays where maybe somebody else was charged with the turnover.
Yeah, you're talking about being credited with the turnover.
Sure.
He's talking about plays where decisions were made that led to a poor possession. Again, what's wonderful about this is that didn't lead to, oh, you're getting yanked out of the game, and then Jonathan is either sort of like upset or confused about what happened, or he's bucking. The best part of that commentary to me is that Jonathan immediately raised his hand and showed the coach, like, no, I know, my bad. Then we're good here. Everybody's going to turn the ball over. Everybody's going to have bad decisions. Everyone's going to have bad shots. If Jonathan is clear on what those are, what the good ones are and what the bad ones are, then that's great. That's great. And all you can ask for is what happened, that he came out in the second half and played one of my favorite halves I've ever seen him play. He was fantastic in the second half, literally from the word go. And they went on a run coming out of the locker room that put the game away almost immediately.
Yeah, and I wonder,
that's what you want.
And I'm going to ask Steve today about kind of a Kyle Shanahan thing. Like, do you come out and did you script the first couple? Because if you look at the opening sequence of the second half, the first play is a Kuminga screen, and he just fades out to the three-point line. He gets the ball, and he hits the three. And then either the next trip or the second trip down, he goes to set the same screen, and he slips it, which means he doesn't actually set the screen. It's like a pretend. It's almost like play action, where you go to set the screen, and then boop, you cut to the hoop. And yep. It was clearly designed because Draymond, he's dribbling, and he's waiting for it, and J.K. slips it, and it's a bounce pass, and then J.K. finishes at the hoop. And I'm going to ask Steve if, you know, that was a design. Did you come out of the locker room and, you know, Shanahan, I don't know if you saw, I know that you probably saw every little bit of everything. You watch every game a couple of times, but when he came out of the locker room, he had the laminated play sheet, but he also had a piece of, like, binder paper on which it looked like was written the first six or eight plays of the second half. So when you go into the locker room in the NFL, you do a little bit of a rescript, especially when you're going to get the ball. And so I wonder if Steve Kerr similarly comes out of the second half.
I don't know.
And has, like, you know what, let's run these couple. Not that we need to, like, spoon feed JK. You don't, but maybe those plays were, like, by design for JK.
Let's go back out to the phones. B in San Jose is next up. Hi, B. Thanks for the call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Stop.
So Willard and Dibs, just like Steiny and Guru, you're both doing a great job.
B, so are you.
I'm doing my best, man.
Not bad.
But I want to think about, you know, the things that actually Dibs was bringing up right now about the maturation and just the overall patience that it seems like Kuminga is using now, at least just in this first game that we saw. To approach his impact on the court. And really, I don't think he needs to dominate the ball like fans and sometimes other folks in the basketball analyst world seem to think he needs to do in order to be an impactful player. He just really needs to dominate the activity of what's going on in the play. And I would highlight both the lob he threw to Butler in the first half, where he was patient to see Jimmy cutting. And then, to borrow, Dibs, I know Guru, that's your boy, and you like to, you know, rib him a little bit with the ha-ha and the skeet-skeet. But it was right on that play that was under a minute to go in the first half where Kuminga had the ball, he was getting inside the three-point line, and he could have went with the ha-ha and the skeet-skeet. But instead, he more so went with the hey-hey and stay on your feet, because he shimmied on his defender, got his defender to bite a little bit, as well as the defender that was guarding Pods. That defender got drawn in. He kicked it to Pods, and Pods patiently let that defender fly by and canned a three-pointer. And usually it's been – I remember, you know, just different times in previous years with Kuminga, especially in those plays where it's like under a minute, and I think he maybe feels the pressure, gets the ball, like got to create, got to get this bucket before the half runs out, or got to get the two-for-one, right? So he sort of kind of forces the action or tries to really, like I said, dominate the ball and dominate the play. But that felt like more so he was in control and dominated the activity, which led to good results.
B, I think, thank you. I think activity is a great word. That's because that's what I did see for four quarters, was like that effort. And at least you're trying. You could tell he's trying to do what the team asked him to do, at least on the defensive end, rebounding the basketball, the activity level. Was out there. I mean, all in all, the whole thing adds up to a really great first night for the Warriors.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.